Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see y'all. Alright. So this past summer, we went for a few months without rain. And in my backyard, you could see without a doubt the effects it had on the plant life during that period. And for much of the month, my creek went completely dry, which I had never seen before. Everything turned brown and shriveled up, and in some places died and became crunchy. Much of my yard was affected. There's even a briar bush that grows from an old stump that I usually have to cut back every year. But this year I didn't have to. It barely grew and was only green for a short time. It didn't have enough water, and it was drying out from the heat. And not too far from there were some trees, but these trees were not affected from the drought. They were all green and full of leaves all summer, and it was like nothing has changed for them. In fact, there's one tree I really took notice to this summer. As I looked outside at my dead brown lawn, there stands a huge tree, probably 50 feet tall, with branches going way out in every direction, full of lush green leaves, and providing protection for lots of birds I can see flying in and out. I remember looking out my window thinking, man, that tree looks so healthy and green, especially in contrast to everything around it being dry and brown. So what is different about that tree and the briar bush? Normally when we have good rain all summer, that briar bush grows like crazy. But without rain this year, it was different. The tree was unaffected though. It looked just as green and lush as any other year. The difference between the two are the root system. The roots of the tree go much deeper and wider than the briar bush, reaching out and down, finding a constant source of water and storing it up. So when the heat comes and the rain stops, the tree can continue to grow and produce fruit and leaves. According to deepgreenpermaculture.com, most tree roots spread 2 to 3 times the radius of the canopy, and often reach out 5 times the radius of the tree canopy in dry conditions. The roots on a tree is extremely important to its survival and its ability to continue to produce fruit even in periods when the rain stops. There are 3 main purposes of the roots on the tree. The roots firmly fix the plant to the soil and provide stability. And they also bring nutrients and water to the plant, feeding the plant. And finally, they store water and nutrients. The Bible uses the example of roots in a tree to represent what we need to have our trust in and faith in, and what we are grounded to and attached to. If you'd like to turn over to Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Jeremiah 17, verse 5, it says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and he shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and who puts his hope in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious for the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit." We can see it, he makes a distinction of the 2 different places we can put our trust. We can anchor ourselves or put our trust in people around us, or we can put our trust in God. Man can offer good advice at times and be a good influence on us and give us guidance when we have godly people around us. Godly people and good influences are like the rain. They're like the rain for the bush in the desert. It comes, and it's a huge blessing, and it can help us live happier and even grow. But that's about all they can do. They can't offer us salvation or be a perfect sacrifice for our sins. And what happens when those influences or those people go away? Or those people to choose not to follow godly principles anymore? Then what are we left with? We are then the bush in the desert, with no more blessings of rain. The blessing of those influences is gone. Our blessings dry up, and we have no more trust in the people who change their minds and make mistakes, and we have no hope for something better. There's no stability in putting your trust in man, even those who are closest to you. Like the verse says in verse 7 and 8, we are truly blessed when we root ourselves in God and His Word. We have to reach out to the flowing waters like the tree in the verse. So when we have the godly influence of the rain around us disappear, we are still connected to the source that doesn't change, God and His Word. It doesn't say if we have faith in God, the drought won't come. It says we won't be worried about the heat, because we're connected to the living waters of God's Word. And that won't change. It gives us hope for something more and salvation. We have to make our own relationship and root system to God. We can't rely on anyone else to grow those roots for us. Just like the tree roots seek the flowing water, we need to seek God's Word to be nourished and to sustain us. And while it never changes and is steady, it gives us hope in His promises. I'd like to look now at an example in the Bible of some young men who had their roots firmly placed in God. If you could turn to Daniel 1, verse 3. Again, this is Daniel 1, verse 3. This is when the children of Israel were being taken into captivity, and some of the young men were re-educated and stripped from their parents and their culture to be indoctrinated into the Babylonian society for service to the king. Daniel 1, verse 3. The king instructed the master of the eunuchs to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the kings of descendants and of the nobles, young men whom there was no blemish and good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quickly to understand, who had ability to serve the king's palace, and who might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them to a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank in the 3 years and 3 years of training for them, so at the end of the time they might serve the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief eunuchs gave them names. He gave Daniel the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. So we can see not only were they stripped from everything they knew before, no more Israelite influence, everything was to be forgotten, about where they came from, and re-educated. But even their names, who reminded them of the God that they worshipped before, were replaced with Babylonian names. Most of the places I looked up had the meanings of the names pretty much the same, but some were different. Either way, the meaning of their Hebrew names centered around the one true God. Daniel meant God is my judge. Hananiah was Yah has been gracious. Mishael, who is what God is, and Azariah is Yah has helped. But in contrast to that, their new names, which meaning centered around several Babylonian gods, was Belshazzar meant Bel will protect. Shadrach is inspired of Aku, and Meshach is belonging to Aku, and Abednego is servant of Nego. As you can see, there's a deliberate action to try and separate the young men from their past and their God, and integrate a new way of life and new gods to worship. But they had a deep-rooted relationship with God. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't take that away from them. If you continue reading in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width 60 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura. Then he had a dedication to the dedication and gathered everyone around. Then Herod cried out aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, O nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony of all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar set up, And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fury furnace, fiery furnace. So that time when all the people heard the sound, all the people of nations and languages fell down and worshipped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the Chaldeans tattled on the three young men for not obeying the king, over in verse 12. It says, there are certain Jews who among you have set their affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men have not paid your due regard to you. They do not serve your gods you worship, or the gold image which you had set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage of fury, gave the command to bring them in. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke to them, saying, is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image that I had set up? But if you do not worship, you should be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is this God who will deliver you from my hands? So they answered the king and said, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if he doesn't, let it be known to you, O king, we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Nebuchadnezzar was full of rage, and his expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded them to heat the furnace 7 times more than it usually heated. And he commanded the certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind them and to cast them into the fiery furnace. He made the fire so hot he actually killed the mighty men who took them into the fire. Then in verse 24, King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke to his counselors. Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered him, saying, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The king and all who were gathered together, and all these men whose bodies were, the fire had no power, and the hair on the head was not singed, nor were the garments affected, and the smile of fire wasn't on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed is the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who set his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's words and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, make a decree that any people, nation, or language that speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made into ash heap, because there is no God who can deliver like this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not influenced by what was happening around them. They had their faith and hope in a God greater than anything on earth, and greater than anything anyone could do to them. Their trust and happiness didn't come from man. It came from a deep-rooted faith in God and his word. If they had put their trust and hope in those around them, their peers, their parents, who they were separated from, or their society, culture, or way of life, all that was destroyed or stripped away down to nothing and dismantled. Even their own names were gone, and they were left to hold. What else were they left to hold on to? All those things came and went like the rain. If they would have trusted man, could you imagine what they would have felt? They would have lived in constant fear and anxiety and loneliness if their hopes were in man. It sounds a lot like the people living in the world today who don't know God, doesn't it? God is the one thing that doesn't change. Our circumstances change, but God doesn't change. They put their roots grounded in God's word before their captivity in Babylon and grew a relationship with him, not just with godly people and influences they had around them. In result of that, they changed the mind of Nebuchadnezzar with their faith. They yielded good fruit even when the heat of the summer was on them and there was no rain in sight. In John 15, verse 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. As you can see, God wants us to bear much fruit. Good fruit, which means we need water and stability. The world we live in is much like Babylon. Our government is turned against God. Our society is against God. The culture we live in despises Christianity. And we may have family members leaving the faith, and there are churches splitting up all the time. Satan has his grip on this world, much like he did in Babylon. So when the rain and blessings of living in a God-fearing nation get fewer and far between, where will we get our water? Where will we get our water to grow fruit, good fruits, and after after all, we are to be producing much fruit. Which means we're to be producing fruit all the time. Not just when it's easy, not when the rains are coming down. We need to produce fruit when the heat of Babylon is coming down on us and no one is watching. Linda was a prime example of someone who bared much fruit. The other night at the viewing was an eye-opening display of good fruits that she grew in her life. There were lines out the door for 3 hours of people coming to pay respects to her. While standing in line, I saw someone walk up to a friend, totally surprised to see them there, and asked how they knew her. And then they proceeded to tell each other the way Linda had helped them both. And they both stood there talking about how surprised they were to see each other there. What were the chances, right? Well, when we know Linda was rooted in the living waters of God, she was able to live a life doing good and right in every season and being able to bear good fruit and an abundance of fruit. It's no surprise that they found each other at the service. Neither Linda nor the three young men of Babylon were perfect, but due to their direct roots to God, they were able to make a difference and bear good fruits, even when it rains and the good influences were few. To bear fruit in every season, we must be grounded directly to God in his living waters, so he can have a direct connection to us and work through us. The three main purposes of rooting a tree were rooting firmly and fixing the plant to the soil to provide stability, bring nutrients and water to the plant and feeding the plant, and to store water and nutrients. The same goes for the spiritual roots too. Our rooted relationship with God provides stability when the winds of trials are blowing. And our spiritual roots mean there's an ongoing relationship with God, meaning we are in communication with him and in study and keep feeding ourselves spiritually. And lastly, the rooted relationship with God provides living water when there is no rain. The blessing of being surrounded by good, godly people and culture is not always there, and will at some point be gone, at least for a little while. Putting our faith and hope in man is like the bush trying to survive in a desert with no way of knowing when or if the rain will ever come. There is no hope for a better future or a future at all when we trust in man. It takes away our stability. So reaching out and making a personal connection with God, like a tree reaching for and rooting deep into the river of water, is the only way to prosper. It's the only way to survive the winds that blow, the only way to make it through the heat of Babylon without any sign of rain, and still have good fruits through the drought, and to have hope in a future.